Joining us today on the Innovative Ideas podcast is my colleague, James Copeland, Project Director of Trial Lawyers, Inc. Healthcare, an update from the Manhattan Institute's Center for Legal Policy that looks at the impact that the litigation industry has on a number of different areas of the American economy, including healthcare. Jim, thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks, Paul.
Jim, the President, in a September 9th speech to the joint session of Congress, seemed to admit, or at least concede, that litigation may be having an effect on healthcare, may be having an effect on medical malpractice premiums and defensive medicine that physicians practice in order to avoid getting sued. So what do you think about the quality of that may? Is enough evidence in to say one way or another whether or not litigation has an impact on healthcare costs?
Absolutely, Paul. It was a striking statement, striking because, A, he admitted that there may be a problem, and for a Democratic political leader to do that, to say that medical malpractice may be a problem when it comes to healthcare costs, is unprecedented. But he clearly qualified the statement, and unfortunately, the subsequent program he announced was only $25 million, which is a lot of money to somebody like you or me. But in the context of a $2 trillion health economy and a $1 trillion healthcare reform bill, is quite a small number indeed. The empirical evidence here is pretty strong. 93% of doctors say that they've practiced defensive medicine, and numerous empirical studies have shown not only that defensive medicine exists, but in fact that it's a quantifiable impact on healthcare expenses, or at least when you start counting apples to apples and doing the proper comparison, that tort reform can in fact reduce costs.
You've got a terrific table in the Trial Lawyers Inc. update on healthcare. It's called "The Lawsuit Industry Gives More to Congressional Elections Than the Entire Healthcare Sector," and it's really eye-popping because you show that firms give more to congressional candidates than any other single player, in fact, than all the other players combined in the healthcare sector.
Right. When you look at the contributions to Congress, just to congressional candidates in the last election cycle, the 2008 cycle, lawyers and law firms gave $127 million. And that's more than twice as much as the doctors give. It's more than the combined sum of the health professionals, the doctors, the pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals, the nursing homes, the HMOs and health insurance companies. So when you add up everybody else on the other side, they're still giving less money to the congressional candidates than to the lawyers. And that's precisely why, notwithstanding the fact that 83% of Americans say that they want litigation reform to be a part of healthcare reform, we're not likely to see any significant tort reform efforts as a part of the healthcare reform packages coming through Congress.
And I think back in August, former presidential candidate and Vermont Governor Howard Dean basically conceded that money was the reason why the Democrats had not included any provisions for tort reform in the healthcare bills.
That's actually right. And Howard Dean, before he was the DNC chairman and before he was the governor of Vermont, was of course a medical doctor. He's a licensed physician. He understands that defensive medicine matters. It's also important to point out that it's not just defensive medicine and it's not just medical malpractice liability. Part of what the trial bar tries to do in saying this is a small percentage of the cost is take a very narrow definition of what constitutes liability when it comes to healthcare, looking only at the insurance company premiums or the losses paid out by insurance companies for insured claims of medical malpractice liability for doctors, and comparing that against the totality of health expenditures. Well, you really can't have it both ways. There's lots of other litigation that goes into health expenditures. As you and I have written on, pharmaceutical, medical device litigation are huge industries for the trial bar. Similarly, nursing homes, HMOs, all of these players within healthcare are getting sued left and right, billions of dollars that don't even count within medical malpractice. And of course, those small fraction numbers that the other side likes to throw out there don't count defensive medicine at all. All they're really talking about are the direct costs of insuring claims. They're not counting claims that are uninsured. So when you add all that up, we say, using the most conservative empirical estimates, that about 12% of the relevant excess cost in U.S. healthcare for doctors and hospitals is attributable to defensive medicine that is curable by tort reform. Obviously, if you came up with different reforms, more systemic reforms like health courts that Phil Howard talks about, you could potentially lower costs even more. That's, again, using conservative estimates. Among some of the other estimates, it could be as much as 30%, a third of the cost. That's excess cost, not total cost, but excess cost, the U.S. cost above that of Germany, France, and the U.K., you could eliminate if you got rid of defensive medicine for that doctor and hospital cost.
In the meantime, actually, the plaintiff's bar is actually trying to push the dial in the other direction, aren't they?
They are, and we, in our Trial Lawyers, Inc. update here, point to a few pieces of legislation that do that. Nursing home liability, I talked about, it's a big area, and they're basically trying to say that arbitration clauses in nursing home contracts aren't enforceable, and they're going to therefore try to increase lawsuits against nursing homes. Device manufacturers for medical devices, as you're well aware, the Supreme Court's come out with a different standard for device manufacturers as for pharmaceutical manufacturers based on the fact that the statutory language there is different. And they're trying to say, well, even if the FDA has approved a particular medical device and it's used in accordance with the warning that the FDA's put on the label, well, you can still have a state jury second-guess the FDA and sue the manufacturer. So these are a couple of the three or four areas where they've actually been trying to expand liability. And it just goes to show how influential the trial bar is. The president and the Democratic leadership in crafting healthcare reform, you and I are skeptical of these reform bills, but they've basically called on broad sacrifice, saying that everyone has to sacrifice. Well, the one industry group that hasn't been asked to sacrifice in all this is the trial bar. And that's disappointing to those of us that really work on litigation reform.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Jim. If you'd like to learn more about this report, Trial Lawyers, Inc., Healthcare, you can go to the Manhattan Institute's website, www.manhattan-institute.org.